If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can't eat money.
Every day that you open your mouth, I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
I'm just telling you what I remember. Holy moly.
And then one time they taste your blood and then they eat your liver.
Right.
She's a witch. She turned me into a newt.
That's the sound of the harmonica flying through the air.
Biologically speaking, very nice.
It's nice, okay.
It's nice. Beating a sheep to death.
Oh.
I got stuff for you you don't even know about.
Until I get my ham hands on you.
I know, it's got big ham hands. It can't do nothing.
That's what I'm saying. I never heard that. It's hands the size of hams. Who wrote this?
And they just, like, oh, this is neat. I'll see this next year on an article.
Yeah.
Write my little paper and then set it onto the back of the house.
And then
the back of the house. Yeah. Welcome to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Wow.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 33.
And I loved your face the whole time. And this is season 5 finale.
Finale.
Finale. All 18 parts. I have no friggin' idea. We'll talk about it. I hope you all enjoyed the new intro. Did you like it?
Is that the season 5 finale intro?
Yes, I wanted to do it special because this is a special one.
That's pretty special. I wasn't expecting that.
You had no idea.
Nope.
I mean, I stayed up super late doing it last night, and I know it maybe doesn't sound the best, but
it's still good.
I built it from scratch. I'm not Pear.
Yeah. Well, nobody's Pear.
Nobody's Pear. Now, so welcome to Dinosaurs from Around the World.
Whoa.
Living Dinosaurs, the season finale. We're going to break some stuff down, and it's going to be a really long one. We'll talk about all that. I have a quiz and everything like that.
Oh, a quiz?
Yeah. We'll explain how the season finale is going to go. But what did you think of the intro?
It was nice. You know, it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Listen
to
that.
It's called To the Island. Is that specific song from Jurassic Park?
John Williams, right?
Was it John Williams?
I think so.
I thought I seen a different name.
Oh, maybe.
Anyways, it's To the Island is the name of the orchestra piece.
Okay. I might have to do some investigating. It just sounded like John Williams.
Now, so super excited. Dinosaurs from Around the World. This is going to be a lot. This is the biggest script ever for a season finale, and they always say that every time because it's true every time. I think Mothman, thinking back to our first season finale ever, was like 75 pages, and we thought that was it was like
a lot.
45 pages.
Yeah, we thought that was too much.
And that was insane.
Yeah, 9 hours.
Yeah. This one is roughly 210 pages.
Well, let's get it started.
We got some front of house stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm super excited. Dinosaurs Around the World. So we're going to take this first off, kind of breaking it down by continent. Dinosaurs seen in North America, dinosaurs seen in South America, Asia, Australia, Europe, Africa, and Antarctica.
Oh, every continent.
And maybe even a special one out of this world.
Oh, space dinos.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's going to be a lot. Before we get rocking and rolling, front of house stuff.
Okay.
Really just the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Yeah.
I don't know how long these episodes are going to be. We never know when we start recording season finale, if it's going to be 4 parts, 8 parts. I have no idea. 30, I know there's a lot.
33 parts.
Yeah. I know there's a lot. And I have more surprises that you've never heard this for the rest of this episode.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's going to be really exciting. But yeah, so Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree is now at the Ada Park. We opened up some more vendor space. So by the time you're hearing this, I don't know if vendor space is still available, but we opened up like 5-6 more spots. Go to crypticorn.com and go to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree tab and then apply to be a vendor there.
The venue got bigger and the event's getting bigger.
It is getting really big.
Which means more fun.
It's a lot more fun. Tickets, I don't know by the time this season finale comes out if there's any tickets available. It's sold out twice, technically, and we've added more tickets.
Right, so
I think we're on the last round of adding tickets.
Just go to cryptsicorn.com and inquire within.
Yeah, see if there's still tickets available. Next year, we may have to do double speakers, like double speaking panels, just to fit more people in, or run out the whole football stadium.
Yeah, we'll do it.
No, so it's super exciting, the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. Check it out, all the info. Check out our Patreon page. You know, support us there. Get some merch. There should be the link below for the Time Slip Brontosaurus t-shirt to be on sale for the season finale.
Nice.
So that should be the cover art for all these episodes as they come out. But yeah, super exciting. So do you have any questions before we get rocking and rolling?
No. I mean, definitely join our Patreon. Our Discord's been extremely fun recently. But yeah, just... if you want to support us, that's the best way to do it, is joining our either on the Patreon or joining on the website, crypticorn.com, becoming a member. And yeah, leave us a review. Leave us a review.
5-star review.
Yeah, it's a 5-star review and a comment.
Actually, I have one to read. I'm glad you said that.
We will read them off. It's been a while.
Yeah. So I think we're caught up.
For most, yeah, I think we are too. I just checked this past weekend. I think there's one new one, though, that you're...
Yeah,
about to bring
the very end of May.
Yeah.
Okay. Says it's from Claire E. 1037. Love these guys. As a college student studying environmental science and microbiology, I love the way these guys connect the supernatural with the science. I'm always in love with the cryptids and the cool to add new ones to my internal library. Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you, Claire.
Claire E.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Oh, yeah. And
I enjoy reading nice comments.
Yes, and I'll only read 5-star reviews.
Yes, on the show.
So, there's a lot here.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. So I try to do this by continent. Some continents overshadowed others with accessibility to living dinosaur stories.
That's natural, though.
Asia wasn't the one I had the most trouble with. Okay. And I think that's just because any time we're researching any cryptid or anything like that in Asia, it's just I don't know if it's the info barrier or whatever. It's just the hardest ones to do.
I think any info out of Asia, if you're not on the coast, is hard to get access to.
And I lumped Indonesia with Australia.
It's close enough,
I guess. Australia is a little more bulkier than the rest of them.
Yeah.
But it's because it has a lot of the islands lumped
in. Pacific Islanders. Yeah, you got to... Man, I would lump them down there with Australia too.
Yeah. So yeah, and Europe was the weirdest.
Mm-hmm.
Africa had the most by up, like just everywhere. And so another thing I want to say before we get rock and rolling, we're excluding really big ones from this list, like Mokili and Mbembe, which we've done full episodes on.
Oh yeah.
Some of the other like dinosaurs we talk about. We're going to talk about the rope in a little bit, okay. Which is not a dinosaur.
And neither is Mokili and Mbembe.
Which, what we think, but you know what I mean? It's kind of the living sauropod
right.
gets thrown in there. But yeah. So first, before we get rocking and rolling, I have questions for you. What is your favorite dinosaur?
Oh, man, I wish you'd have prepped me. You can't put me on the spot like that. There's so many dinosaurs to choose from. But if I had to pick one, it'd probably be from Ark. But see, now it's popular. The Therizinosaurs? Therizinosaurs. I just like them on Ark. They're my favorite one to try to contain or capture. And
the murder
tame.
Chickens?
Yeah, because they will murder you in like 2 seconds. But if you can get one, oh boy.
They're very weird dinosaurs
because
mm-hmm. they're a herbivore and a mostly plant-eating group. Or a herbivore and a mostly meat-eating group.
Oh, gotcha.
Because they're a theropod. They're in their same family as T-Rex and the big guys.
But if I had to choose from like childhood to like now, probably overall the brontosauruses, the big, tall, long-neck guys, were always my favorite as a kid just because they were just so massive. And as a kid, anything tall and big, gigantic, always fascinated me.
Freaky Fauna Friday, we've covered a couple of the sauropods. I think we've covered Argentinosaurus and maybe even Giraffa Titan, which were two of the just living buildings.
Yes.
You know, and it's just crazy how big those animals get. And we'll talk about how conventionally they break the rules of science mm-hmm. all the time. So they used to believe sauropods could only get to be, I think it was, if I remember the numbers right, it was like 60 tons. Okay. 60 tons is the biggest a land animal can get.
Yeah.
They're just any bigger, they're going to collapse. Then they found one that was 65 tons, estimated. Like, okay, so 65 tons is the,
right.
the you
change
know.
It, rewrite
and
the
then
rules.
It was 70, then 72. I think they're up to 80 tons now.
Just wait till there's always a bigger fish.
So that's what I'm saying is that.
Ouch. Sorry, I'm trying to fix my socks.
Stop it. It's season finale.
I'm sorry.
Oh, do you want to restart the whole episode?
No, please.
Don't do that anymore.
That was an accident. Did you guys hear that at home? Yes.
Yes, they did. What are they saying now? You threw me off. Oh, no, so science is constantly changing to fit biology.
Right.
And you're going to hear that a lot through these next 18 episodes of dinosaurs.
And I like my only intro to dinosaurs, besides doing the show and what I've learned from you, basically, is like Land Before Time, those cartoon movies we grew up on.
And they tried the best.
Right. But that was like mostly where I got my idea of that. I mean, in Jurassic Park
so
as well.
Interesting thing, you mentioned Land Before Times.
Oh, yeah.
Because in The Land Before Time, the original movie, they mashed a couple of the eons together,
ooh.
The periods. So you've seen like, not Dilophosaurus, Dimetrodon, the sail-finned therapsid.
Yeah, the big...
It's like a lizard, but it's not a lizard. They were way, way before dinosaurs technically, as far as the conventional timescale go.
But they had a lot of
therapsid synapsids. And dinosaurs mixed in together in the first Land Before Times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was interesting because that comes up later.
Okay.
No, so my favorite dinosaur, it's very hard. I'm with you with I like the Titans. I like Giraffa Titan. I like Argentinosaurus. The Supersumosaurus, the biggest thing as far as we know ever to walk on
Super
Earth.
Sumo?
Supa Suma.
Oh, Suma, okay.
Which is named, it is named after sumo wrestlers.
Hmm?
Yeah, because they think what they would do is they had the adult males, which were much bigger than the females.
Okay.
Had these pads in the front of their chest. So they'd basically ram into each other and like wrestle.
Just like sumo wrestlers.
Except they're 92 feet tall.
Wow.
And 80 tons, 160,000 pounds.
So you're just saying they were taller?
Yeah, they were the biggest, as far as we know.
And sumo wrestlers, I meant.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, weight's relatively the same, but...
Weight's relatively... No, I don't think... I think a whole sumo league would probably weigh as much as their femur.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
No, but just truly massive animals. And Ankylosaurus, the true, like, the denomination Ankylosaurus is probably one of my favorites ever, too. Because it just lived in a time where there was all kinds of crazy predators, and they just did the exact opposite of most things. Is most things either got supersized to try to outcompete the predators,
right,
or got really fast, and they just got really, really armored.
Oh, so they did the third option.
Yeah. So they were like covered, their bone plates on their back were crazy. Some ankylosaurs, depending on which species, we actually think they would hunker down. They could, well, you kick their feet a little bit and dig a little hole,
mm-hmm,
and sit in the hole they just dug so they couldn't get flipped over.
Was these like the big giant turtle looking things?
With the big club on their tail. Some of them had clubs, some of them didn't. So
okay.
Ankylosaurs had all, there's all different types, and we actually don't know. It looks like the clubs weren't being fully used for defense. They were being used for mating displays, because we only really find ankylosaur club marks on other males. Mm. So it's like they're standing there and beating each other
like Komodo
dragons do.
Yeah.
Where they both accept, they both stand there and they take it, and then whoever's last standing wins.
Like that slap fighting now?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is really bad.
It's the worst sport I've ever seen in my life. It's not a sport.
It is a sport.
No,
you're just going to die. You get dumber the longer you play.
It's like, here's instant head trauma. Ready? Yeah. Go.
You get dumber the longer you play, which makes you better at it.
Yeah, it does.
If you live long enough.
I don't like that one.
So I like those two. Those are kind of my favorites. The dinosaur clade produced some really amazing predators. I mean, the biggest predators on land ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, several contenders for that category. It's still probably the T-Rex. But, I mean, Gigantosaurus and Spinosaurus were both kind of in that length. And T-Rex was just a lot heavier.
Yeah.
They were built more robustly. They were wrestling stuff like Triceratops and stuff like that. Other armored death machines.
Right, yeah. They had to deal with.
Yeah. Giganotosaurus was another massive one where we think they were actually hunting sauropods. They had longer, thinner jaws, and they would grab what we think is on their back legs and actually do cuts and just wait for them to die.
Like severing an ACL.
Yeah, just let them bleed out or let them get infected and then just follow them around until this living building drops, because you can't fight one.
And then it's a dead buffet.
Yeah. Now, so that's my favorite dinosaurs. What is the dinosaur you're most scared of? If it was alive right now?
Used to be T-Rex. Not no more, though. I feel like those kind of... were overhyped, but freaking raptors always scared me. Raptors were the ones that...
Real, like velociraptors?
Yeah, velociraptors, like from the movie. I don't know if they were like that.
They were not like that.
Well, those scared me.
So
in
actual
the movie.
Velociraptors were the size of turkeys.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, they got to be about 3 foot tall.
Well, I could deal with that.
Well, I mean, maybe you could deal with one, like coyotes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could deal with one coyote. But 4 or 5 coyotes will kill a person.
Maybe, not me though.
Because once you fall, you're done.
Yeah, see, I never fall.
Mm-hmm.
I got the flat protecting me.
Now, you weren't there, but when me and Emily on Freaky Fauna Friday played the reconstructions of the Tyrannosaurus Rex noise.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely haunts you. And now we had a bunch of comments about it saying, like, there's something in your brain that's primal. It's like, that's a bad noise.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily scary because they didn't roar. Like what we see on TV.
I'd imagine like a big Muscovy.
It's actually what they sounded like.
Yeah.
The one sounded like a loon, really deep loon. But something in the lizard part of your brain goes... that's not good.
Yeah.
No, so I think any of the... I know the little guys are probably more dangerous to us as people, because getting into your house and stuff like that. But just seeing a T-Rex, because they didn't have... We think now they had the lips, so you really didn't see their teeth. Have you ever seen the straight-on view of them?
Oh, I'm not sure.
The reconstruction. They look terrifying.
Okay.
They are because they have front-facing... They're staring at you.
Okay.
And it's something... The biggest land predator ever to exist is just...
Stare at you, yeah.
Looking at you.
Front-forward eyes is intimidating.
Yeah, so any of them...
Unless you're a cave goat.
Probably the worst for civilization is also the sauropods, though. Because they would just trample your town and not know it.
Yeah.
And herbivores are generally... If you look in nature, herbivores are much more dangerous and more temperamental.
Well, yeah, because they're panicky.
Yeah, so... Triceratops, something the size of a tank, and then something the size of a grain elevator or a building that just sees you running around and freaks. You can't hurt it, and it just freaks out.
Right, yeah.
And it tramples.
In the process of being...
Yeah.
Man. I still feel like, back in the day, Flintstone people. It was just Flintstones is real. They were riding sauropods.
We'll get to that.
Using them to move stones.
So let's talk about the dinosaurs' extinction.
Okay.
We're just going to kind of do an overview of a real quick one because we did mass extinctions as an episode. So go back and listen to that. But I just want to kind of cover that. So there's many misconceptions commonly portrayed in popular books and media that all dinosaurs died out at the same time. And apparently quite suddenly, and at the end of the Cretaceous period, 66 roughly million years ago. That's not quite entirely correct, not only because birds are living branches of dinosaur lineage. The best records were almost exclusively from North America, showing that dinosaurs were already kind of in a decline in the last portion of the Cretaceous period. So dinosaurs, they reigned for about 125 million years.
Okay.
They had waxing and waning periods already.
Okay.
So when we talk about the mass extinctions in the Cretaceous, they were already, there's a lot of evidence
on the way out,
showing that they were on their, one of their waning periods.
Okay.
So they probably would have bounced back if it wasn't for whatever caused the mass extinction event.
Gotcha.
So that's what a lot of people say is it was a double whammy. Because they had periods that you could look in the fossil record in their history where they would have tons and tons of species and tons of individuals, and then they dive back down. And then they bounce back up, dive back down.
Okay.
So it just kind of happened. If the meteor or whatever happened actually hit during one of the high apex periods,
okay,
dinosaurs would have been fine as a group. They would have bounced back. Some clades would have survived. Like, there would still be dinosaurs today.
Right, yeah.
But they were already on the way out, so they already had a limited number of species, and then they got hit.
Right.
So we'll get back to it. So already in the decline and the Cretaceous period, the cause of this decline, as well as the fortunes of these group at the time, are complex and difficult to attribute to any single source. Like I said, these guys were getting hammered at the end of the Cretaceous with all kinds of stuff. We don't know if it was disease, natural population decline, even a mini ice age during the dinosaur period. Like I said, 125 million years in conventional timescale. A lot of ice ages happened in that period. Dinosaurs, we know there were dinosaurs in the Arctic Circle. Dinosaurs adapted and were surviving in polar regions.
Okay.
They're not these cold-blooded reptile monsters that the movies portray.
Right.
They were hyper-intelligent. They're on par with birds and mammals for their diversity and their ability to adapt to climates.
Okay.
I mean, we have birds in the coldest spot on the planet and the hottest.
Yeah, that's very true.
Penguins and tropical birds.
White bellbirds.
The cause of this decline, like I said, is tons of reasons. In order to understand this extinction, it's necessary to understand the basic fossil record of these dinosaurs. So there's faunal changes. During the 160 million years or so of the Mesozoic era, which the dinosaurs are known, is a constant change in dinosaur communities. Different species evolved rapidly and were quickly replaced by others throughout the whole Mesozoic period.
Okay.
So they're constantly changing out species. Very few species stayed on top for extremely long periods of time. Like I said, it's very rare for any particular type of dinosaur to survive one geological formation to the next. So these different layers, it's very, very rare to find one species that would survive
in both of them, several or all layers. Three of them, or yeah, all the different
a bunch
ones.
Of them.
Yeah.
So many other species, though, were surviving that. Like stuff we have today, from hellbenders to horseshoe crabs, you know.
That made it through the
those mass extinctions.
Okay.
So what that kind of tells us is dinosaurs were really good at, it's called species radiation, of filling up niches and out-competing each other really quickly. They were adapting and changing into new species at a rapid pace.
Okay.
Whatever, you know, whatever causes, whether it was diseases, they were, you know, up. It was like almost they were in an arms race with themselves.
So and the rest of nature too, right?
The rest of nature. At this point during the dinosaurs apex, there wasn't a lot they were competing with dinosaurs.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But during the late Jurassic, 165 to 145 million years ago, it was very different. By this time, sauropods and more advanced ornithopods and the combination of a few other sauropods and a few stegmosaurs, which were Stegosaurus family group.
Okay.
New kinds of theropods and ornithopods and some first well-known of the ankylosaurs were coming around. So this is kind of when the middle of the dinosaur period is where we really start seeing the clades get hammered out that are going to make it all the way to the end.
Okay, so the guys that are long-lasting.
Yeah, the ornithopods are stuff like Ornithomimus. You're very much your bird-like dinosaurs.
Okay.
Where you see, like, Gallimimus from Jurassic Park, the thin, long. They look like big ostriches. They look like a naked ostrich.
Run through, yes.
Theropods are like your T-Rex, your Thysanosaurs, your big, meaty theropods, your two-legged ant guys. Most of them are carnivores. They're not all carnivores. Sauropods are the big, long-necked guys. Ankylosaurs are the armored tanks. And then Stegosaurus, which are, there's no true Stegosauruses left by the time.
Okay.
It's important to note that extinction is a normal part in this universal occurring. Like I said, mass extinctions often come to mind as a turn of extinction is mentioned, but normal background extinctions occur throughout geological time constantly.
Like right now, I mean.
Well, you listen to our mass extinction episode. The one we're having right now is not a background extinction. It is a mass extinction.
Oh, okay.
Because the bugs. That's the
right,
big
one. Yeah, that's one.
You can tell background extinctions, mass extinctions, by the number of species affected at the same time and the types of species affected.
But, I mean, I was just saying, like, in general,
so
species are going extinct every day.
Yeah, it happens. It's a natural process.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right now, we're in the start of a mass extinction.
Bugs.
Well, all of them. We're losing more mammals than ever.
Oh, okay.
Listen to mass extinction episode.
Yep.
We're in the start of a new mass extinction. But like I said, a lot of times these take a lot of times. This is a new species constantly split into existing ones. They come back forth. Do you have any questions about that?
No, that's all pretty straightforward information, easy to absorb.
The KT boundary, you hear it a lot in dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain what it means.
Okay.
It literally just means the Cretaceous Pleistocene.
So between those two periods?
Yes, extinction event, the KT boundary event.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because the Pleistocene is the time of mammals.
So is the boundary like the layer in the ground? Is that what they're referring to as the boundary?
Kind of. It really just means the death.
Right.
We see a complete change
right.
of who's running the show.
Right.
And it goes from dinosaurs and large reptiles like pterosaurs
to
birds and mammals.
Right. I guess I'm saying like based off the fossil record.
Yes.
They're determining this. Yes. So in my head, I guess that's how I picture it. That's the boundary.
So animals like turtles, crocodiles, lizards, snakes all had die-offs, but they survived and relatively maintained their same niches through this event.
Right. Okay.
You really only see the switch out of the guys running the show, the big guys, and then they trickle back into little niches. So rodents, mammals were already in little niches.
Right.
Birds were already in little niches in the Cretaceous. And turtles, snakes, all those guys were already in their niches. It was really, you've seen the massive guys wiped out and replaced very quickly.
Right. Because niches are filled quickly in nature.
Yes.
Life finds a way.
But also fossils are very rare.
True.
So it could mean that dinosaurs didn't truly go extinct, even with birds. They just got knocked back so hard may have been really relics.
Right.
Even in the Pleistocene.
Appear to be extinct through the
we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. So any questions?
Huh.
So modern crocodiles are related to dinosaurs. More closely related than a lot of other reptiles. Modern birds are also a direct descendant of dinosaurs. Depending on how you fall in the taxonomic key, they'll argue about whether birds are true dinosaurs or not.
Okay.
Whether they're own separate group or if they're dinosaurs, it's really hard to tell. Hesperornis is a good fossil example of what could be a dinosaur that survived the mass extinction event.
What's that?
It's an aquatic, it's kind of imagine like a really long penguin with teeth.
Ooh, okay.
A really long, like a thin, long penguin.
Yeah. Is this based on fossil? Like,
yes,
they found
we have their fossils.
Reconstruction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have really complete fossils, these guys. As we get newer in the Pleistocene, we get really good examples because it's new,
right?
Relatively speaking, in the geology. And it wasn't whatever happened, it was a meteor or whatever, that wrecked a lot of fossils, I'm sure,
as well.
So Hesperornis, their whole family group, it kind of looks like there's a chance that they may be dinosaurs that survived the mass extinction that were still kind of riding that line between birds and dinosaurs.
Okay.
So were they birds? Were they dinosaurs? Don't know.
Right.
But they have a lot of dinosaur traits to them.
Okay.
But yeah. So that's the mass extinctions, the kind of the short version of it.
Oh, breaking each one down. So how many were there in total? I didn't keep track.
There was, oh gosh, now it argues, remember, it's like, I think there's six.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
It's six.
Okay.
But that's the dinosaur, the KT event.
Right, yes.
All right, you ready for North American living dinosaur scene?
Ooh, okay, so we're starting with North America. Home turf, hey?
Before we get rocking and rolling into this, though, we're at the half-hour mark. I don't
already?
Know how long these episodes... Yeah, I know. Not everybody's turned out yet. So let's play our Flavors of the Forest ad.
I, the great and powerful Mystery, had devised a diabolical plan. I am going to bring back a dinosaur so they can reveal their secrets of dynamite flavor. Hit the ray! What is that coming out of the tube? It's a dinosaur! Oh my gosh, what is that in your claws, dinosaur? Is that Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot breath, raw garlic dust? Oh my gosh, this is the best stuff. It truly is dinomite! If you guys had this, how did you go extinct? Ah, taxes. Gets us all. If you want some of this amazing and dynamite garlic dust, you can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn or the link below.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dang, those dinosaurs are frightening.
And we're back.
Is that what the T-Rex sounded like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't know any of this was happening, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
There's still more surprises to come.
It sounded like baby dinosaurs were in there, too.
Going. Yeah, there were. There were. Now, so, first one we're going to get to is North America. We're going to start at home and work our way out.
That's right. All right. The way it should be.
So, I have all kinds. We're just going to talk about them. I mean, this episode's going to be your 6-year-old's favorite episodes ever, because we're just going to talk about dinosaurs. So this is from phantomsandmonsters.com, an eyewitness reported. Northern Ontario First Nations man describes account of a brontosaurus that exists in a nearby lake.
Mm.
So we're not talking ancient. This is a long. More modern. A Northern Ontario First Nations man describes he's a 17-year-old account of a 70-year-old account, brontosaurus, is said to exist in a modern-day deep water lake north of his home. Here is the email he sent. From Northern Ontario along the Hudson Bay, which you've been to the Hudson Bay, haven't you?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like Hudson, I know the Hudson River's up there, right?
Yeah. There's been many signs of strange creatures in the area where I live. The first one I was told about a hairy man who lives between the towns I live in approximately 45 minutes north of it. As a kid, I was told stories about him and how his or my friends, parents, relatives encountered what is essentially a Bigfoot. I always took these stories with a grain of salt until last year my friend and his family were driving north of here and they saw it walk out of a ditch, cross the highway, and disappear into the woods. A family traveling in a minivan coming from the other direction also stopped and witnessed this event. The police were called, and they showed up, and they were found with the two excited families. A print or two of a large foot was found, and a strong smell of what was described as rotting garbage.
Mm.
The second story I heard was about a dinosaur sighting that was witnessed by quite a few people on a lake also north of here. The sighting took place approximately 70 years ago at a now long abandoned town at the edge of the lake. So before I read this, and it's really short, this encounter. So I looked and looked and looked into this. It, like, the town is dead.
Okay, the one he's about to mention?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nobody there. It's very odd. You'll see a lot of these dinosaur sightings as we go throughout these episodes. Definitely have this kind of flavor, where there's a bunch of sightings really fast, and then it goes away.
Goes away, okay.
Keep in mind, the animal we're about to talk about is very large.
Well, he said brontosaurus in the water, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, that's a... Aren't brontosaurus the tall, long
They're
neck?
Big, yeah. Yeah. So one of our elders, I heard the story from, told me that he watched what essentially looked like a brontosaurus walking through the forest with its head of the clearing of the top of the forest canopy very easily. They watched as it slowly walked into the lake and swam out where the lake got huge, or the lake got huge and then disappeared around a bend. To help you picture the area, it looked like a picture an upside-down snowman with the town located at the top of the head and the large part of the lake in the midsection of the body. The dinosaurs said they went left to right before disappearing out of sight. Of course, most people don't believe that the dinosaurs still exist. For whatever reason, I think it's true.
What does he mean by a large snowman?
The shape of the lake.
The lake. Gotcha.
You turn, okay. It's an upside-down snowman. Is
now
the shape.
I understand.
The town is at the bottom of the little part.
Okay.
The head. Big, fat, wide part is where the dinosaur was seen.
Okay.
So this brontosaurus essentially is walking through a forest, and there's more to it. Like, a bunch of people seen this. This was tribal elder stories.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, they're not... There may be lesson stories they tell, but they're not making stuff up.
Okay.
In my opinion, in my humble opinion.
It does sound like a kind of accounts of Mikelly and Mbembe, kind of.
Very much so, but Ontario.
Right, in Canada, the Canada version.
So, this giant brontosaurus, and the elder, I think, was describing the creature to the writer, a young First Nations man. And he knew, like, he's obviously been modern culture, seen brontosaurus and stuff on TV. He's like, the best you can describe a big long-necked dragon lizard thing?
Yeah.
It's a brontosaurus. This big creature walked up, and it was said, completely clearing the forest, got walked into the lake, swam out, and apparently was a very competent swimmer.
Yeah.
And went around a bend. So we think brontosaurus were actually really good swimmers.
Okay.
We think that they may have actually had to use water for breeding purposes. That's still heavily argued.
Yeah, how do we know that?
Well, it's because of how big they are. Because keep in mind, if they were going to traditionally mount, let's say, like a normal four-legged animal would, the female then has to support not only her own weight, but an extra 80 tons.
Right, yeah. You think they do like the back-to-back thing.
Like tortoises, except tortoises don't do that.
Well, don't other animals do that?
Not very many.
Okay.
It's hard for a four-legged animal to do that.
Okay.
So they theorize that they may be like, there's some giant tortoises that actually go to the water to breed because it's just easier on their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't...
Don't leatherbacks do that?
Well, they all breed in the ocean because they live there.
Right, but they just give birth on land.
Yes.
Okay.
So that makes they breed for in the ocean because they live there.
Live there. Okay, fair enough.
But no, it's very interesting, very short. But it was one that I really liked.
But even like accounts with Mikelly and Mbembe, you know, that's always seen in the lake. you know, or
yeah, well, they sauropods, I really think, enjoy the water. Because if you're that big, I just think it feels better.
I mean, for weight-wise, yeah, it's a lot of pressure off you.
Yeah. We see it with elephants and stuff like that.
Hippos.
Hippos live in the water, but
I mostly.
But elephants, they're land animals. They're savanna animals.
Right.
And they'll just love wallowing in the water because it feels good.
Right, yeah.
And they're really competent swimmers.
Hmm.
Now, this next one I have. Do you have any more to say about?
No, just very similar to that. I'd be curious, you know, this was 70 years ago, but and no more accounts, but it would have been cool if they had, like, footprints to accompany it.
That would be awesome. I would love to see
you could compare it
a sauropod footprint.
Yeah. Or what if it was, you know, three-toed, just like Mokelian Bembe.
Well, a big rhino.
Then you know, like, you're onto something else. Something else is going on.
I think. Well, I don't want to spoil it. We still got a lot to go through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have ideas.
Okay, we'll see.
And this, I think, why I put that one first is I think the opinion I have, I think, does that perfectly.
Well, we'll circle back when it's
we'll
time.
Circle back in about 8 hours. The Partridge Creek Beast.
Oh, we know
which
this
is
one.
Our first Patreon episode ever.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow.
I believe so. I think our first actual like breaking down a cryptid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about inserting that horrible audio right into here.
No, no.
But no, I think we're okay. I think we're just going to redo the story.
Probably should.
Yeah. So the Partridge Creek Beast, anybody knows, is a truly awesome story. On April 15th of 1908, a very curious account from Georges Dupuy. Now, it's like George with an S on the end.
Okay.
How do you say that name?
Georges? Georges?
Georges?
Gorges?
It's George with an S. I'm just going to call him George. But that's not his name.
Okay. No, that's the name of him, not the place. Okay.
No, it's his name.
George. Just call him George.
Appeared in the French journal, Je Chitut, is told of a harrowing encounter supposedly experienced by two hunters out in the frigid, remote wilderness of the Yukon Territory in Canada, right up against the border with Alaska. According to the report, San Francisco banker James Lewis Butler and a local gold miner named Tom Lemore were out hunting moose in the area of the Yukon Clear Creek. It had been shaping up to be a good hunting, actually, as they were managed to get on the trail of what appeared to be three large moose, and they were drawing closer to their kill with when something really bizarre happened. So these guys are out there hunting moose. They see the sign of three bull moose that are probably getting ready for rut and fight and stuff like that. So that's the best time to hunt them because they're not paying attention.
Okay.
When they got all these hormones flowing.
Yeah.
That's what they do with
elk. They're
looking
for a mate and they're looking for a fight.
Yeah. And so they're looking for other moose just to beat up.
Like a real man.
Yeah, like a real man. If you're a man that lives in Alaska and has four legs and antlers. Yeah,
you're just looking for a mate and looking for a fight.
Yeah, I mean, that
makes
sense.
About all you do up there.
As the two men hunkered down to observe the animals, the very large moose suddenly became very frightened of something unseen in the trees. So they're watching this and they're watching a couple of these moose, and the biggest moose of the bunch like looks over at the trees and is like in defense mode immediately. Yeah. Not going over there for the fight, just like what, you know.
What's over there? I'm standing guard.
One of these animals let out a bellow of warning, and the other three mooses all bolted off in a panic. And the two startled hunters just stood there and looked on, wondering what it could have been possible to even frighten these intimidating animals so badly. Keep in mind, bull moose aren't, like, wolves don't really mess with. A bull moose is a very different animal than a cow moose and a calf.
How big is a bull moose? Fully grown?
I think 2,500 pounds, 3,000 pounds.
How tall?
Oh, really big. Yeah. They're really tall.
They're like 10 foot tall, aren't they?
I may be off on the weight. I didn't look it up beforehand.
Right, yeah. I'd ballpark
but
him.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely monsters.
They are. They're megafauna.
Yeah, they are one of the last megafauna left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't know what to intimidate so badly. However, they weren't about to give up their hunt, so they started tracking the moose again into the wilderness. And they came across a quite unexpected sight. They're meandering off in the portion of a marshy wetland with these immense tracks neither of them had seen before, measuring a mind-boggling 2.5 feet across.
What?
And 5 foot in length, as well as looking up the impressions of what appeared to be a tail or something dragging behind it. So, 2.5 feet across.
Yeah.
Which, when we're talking about dinosaurs in... quite possible. 5 feet long. I think they meant it was dragging through the snow. Like the toes were dragging. So the whole stride was 5 feet.
Yeah.
Come on, we're talking something over 100 years ago.
And it's a big foot.
Yeah. Well, this thing could eat a big foot.
Yeah, apparently.
So, which had dragged 5 feet across
as well as it looked like the impression of a tail dragging whatever it was behind, or whatever it was behind it, which had dragged a gouging, measuring another 2 foot across through the mud. So they're in the tundra. They're hunting these moose. They find what it, in the original story, there's a lot of blood. So they find one of their mooses. Like, there's just blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No moose tracks leaving the area. And these two monstrous turkey tracks with a tail or something dragging behind it.
Yeah.
Going into a marshy wetland.
Man.
They try to follow the tracks, but it soon vanished into a rocky area, which led into a previous gorge at a place called Partridge Creek. And that search was called off. Butler and Lemoore decided to go for help, making their way to the remote outpost called Armstrong Creek, where they found the explorer and the writer Georges Dupuy, a French-Canadian missionary named Father Pierre Luxinding, and five local native guides to tag along. Their foolhardy expedition found camped out on the ridge overlooking the area of where the massive monster had disappeared. But it would soon make an appearance. It was here on this lonely ridge that a group of men would observe an outlandish beast said to measure nearly 50 feet long, with an estimated weight of over 40 tons, and a whole conveyor course of what appeared to be black hair or bristles, reminiscent that of a wild boar.
Ooh.
Rather than do the sensible thing and get out of there, the men supposedly watched this gigantic beast roar and climb around the rocky gorge for another 10 minutes. Luxburg came to convince that what they were seeing was an extinct dinosaur, similar to that of T-Rex, called Cartendosaurus. So he's a very 1908, very limited knowledge of species of dinosaurs. So he picked the other one that wasn't a T-Rex,
yeah,
because of its face crest.
Ooh.
So he only knew of a couple fossils of dinosaurs that had this nose frill, essentially. Which now we know a lot of theropods actually had that.
Would it be comparable like to a chicken's...
Yes.
What's that called?
A comb.
Comb, yeah.
But theirs had bones in it.
Oh, so that's the difference.
Some chickens do, like Polish have actually, that's a bone that all those feathers sit on.
That little fuzzy thing on their head?
Yeah.
Oh.
The big, it's called a hat.
But it looks like a little cush ball.
Yeah. But yeah, they actually have a bone in there that help, like a pincushion.
Hmm.
So amazingly, this ferocious monster at no point seemed to realize it was being watched and stalked off the cold wilderness to leave these people breathless in a state of pure shock. With especially the Native American guides reeling in terror. And we'll come back. I'm going to break this.
They were scared?
Yeah. They were more scared than the
people, than the tourists?
The white guys.
Yeah.
For a good reason. Because they knew what this thing is.
Yeah.
When you don't know, it's easy not to be scared.
Right, exactly.
The monster went off. The terrified men abandoned their search for the monster. Instead of winning back to Armstrong Creek, later Darlison City become more men in arms. But no one believed them, and they were unsuccessful. Indeed, according to Dupuy, their search were mostly mocked upon coming out of civilization. They never made another attempt. So I'm going to break this down again, because this is one version of this story. There's several other versions where the guys basically seen the moose get killed.
Okay.
Like this theropod ran out, killed the moose.
Grabbed it and they saw
picked it. Picked it up and walked off with it. And they followed the blood and feet, the footprints from there.
Okay.
Moose are big, like we just discussed.
Yeah.
So any animal that can grab, pick up, and carry off.
A bull moose.
Why I believe this story is it was 19, what did I say? I got to look up. 1908.
Oh, wait, yep.
It was 1908. They described a theropod. They described how it walked, unlike the modern day thinking of the time.
Okay.
So the two guys that knew what dinosaurs were, they thought they walked with big lizards dragging their tail. So one of the stories talks, and you could say this once again, 100 game telephone, people change stuff, you know, it's whatever. So they say that. One of the original newspaper clippings, though, does talk about these bristle boar hairs. So a lot of dinosaurs had quills. They had feathers.
Yeah.
But they actually had what they call as a quill, which is a modified feather that looked like horse or boar hair.
Okay.
So a lot of ceratopsians, we're not sure if a theropods had it, which are the two-legged meat eaters, but ceratopsians had quills like porcupines or modified feathers. So to me, this sounds like quills over the whole animal's body. They didn't even have the idea that really dinosaurs were covered in fur until the 80s and 90s.
Fur or feathers. Yeah.
This downy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, there's a lot of stuff that hits of seeing an animal that they kind of know looks like a dinosaur, but is not behaving of what they understood dinosaurs behaved like
right.
in the day.
Right.
So there's just a lot of details there. the main account, a lot of the original accounts say that they followed it all the way back to one of these big caves it went into. And this theropod was living in this cave. But it was only seen for a very short period of time, not before, not after, just like the Brontosaurus.
Okay, gotcha. So very short, relatively short flap.
Yes, but a lot of sightings. I mean, they were finding the tracks, and depending on which article you're looking at, there was other tribes in the area were finding blood. The Native American tribe in the area talked about monsters from under the ground.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just, and the, why the Native American guy were fearful is because this is basically their devil.
Right.
This is the destroyer of villages, essentially.
And if it came out of a cave, that's underground.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the death demon.
Yeah.
And a 50-foot-long theropod would be the death demon. A
harbinger of death.
Yeah.
Because it's teeth.
So why he picked this certain animal is because a lot of the depictions, the sketches they did of it, have the frill, the crest on the nose, or the snout. A lot of animals had that, including what we know as Uteranus, which was the Arctic T-Rex.
Okay.
You see them in Ark. They have the full, they're covered in feathers.
I probably have.
But they have the two eye spikes, and then they have the frill on the nose.
Okay.
So, but like you said, it's for sexual display. What we find is a lot of the females of these species don't have it, or it's really, really small, like a chicken comb.
Okay.
Like the female chickens have a really small one, or almost none, depending on the breed. And then the males always have the big ones.
So it's sexual
display or sexual dimorphism.
Dimorphism, that's the word. That's the science word we like to use here.
Yep. So what do you think of the Partridge Creek beast?
I can't believe we did that on episode one of Patreon.
It was like one or two. I think it was like our first actual
episode
of what we do with this stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a very interesting story. Like you said, it's the details, the minor details that were pre-Jurassic Park. That's what I'm going to call it. Pre-JP. You know, we'll put that in the timeline.
Yeah.
Because I do think that changed a lot of perspectives, and it's just because how that's what we thought, you know, scientifically at the time, that's what all these dinosaurs were like.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was only in the 90s. It's relatively short time ago that we've made so many different advancements.
Bringing back freaky fauna. Mm-hmm. Listen to our Spinosaurus episode on freaky fauna, because we talk about that a lot. That's the animal that's been changed so many times because they're just so chunks of fossils.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazis destroyed their best one ever.
It's another thing on the list for them.
Well, when they were, carpet bombing Egypt, because it was in a museum in Egypt, because that's where the Spinosaurus was discovered, it was Egypt.
And they carpet bombed it?
Yeah. They were destroying because the treasures they couldn't take, they blew up.
Right.
So they basically blew up this museum with our best Spinosaurus, and it took, I think, another 40 years for them to find one.
Jerks.
Which, yeah.
They're jerks.
They're jerks, yes. Nazis aren't good. Heard it here first, kids.
Yep.
Nazis aren't good.
Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, you're first, absolutely.
Now, here's one that any of our MetaZoo fans, any of those guys, you've heard of it. I tried to really look into this one. There's several of these, as we do these episodes, that just don't have a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find a lot. I researched a lot. But this is the River Dino. It's one of the MetaZoo cards. It's a pretty popular one. So I'm just going to read their little thing about it. The River Dino, also known as the River Lizard, Mini Rexes, or Prairie Devils, which I try to look into any of those names. There's not a lot on any of these.
Prairie Devils.
Are associated with other names of reptilian-like cryptids of the American West, with a high number of sightings in the Four Corners region. Similar creatures have been seen in Ohio, Kentucky, Texas, and Georgia.
Okay. That's our area.
Well, one of those is. Two of those are.
Yeah. Ohio, Kentucky.
The dino is said to walk exclusively on its hind legs and stand about 3 feet tall. And have arm-like appendages instead of forearms. So arm-like appendages instead of like full-on arms.
Mm.
So whether that's little wings. So when we talk about Velociraptor.
Like protuberances.
They had wing arms.
Yeah.
They had feathers on their arms. So it would be hard to say. They didn't like have these big broken wrist of the Jurassic Park Velociraptors.
With a big claw on the end that they tap?
Their hands faced in.
Okay. So they can hold stuff.
Yeah, that's when they were tacking and grabbing. That's how they would operate. Not down.
Okay.
Because if you really watch the Jurassic Park Velociraptors, they walk with their hands like down. It's really weird. Yeah.
So do T-Rexes.
What? T-Rex had it in like this. They were tiny.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the dino said, like I said, to walk with its appendage. Investigator Nick Shook was the first heard about these dinosaurs from an individual involved in a shadowy animal trade and said the creatures were the reptiles usually seen near wet environments and move swiftly with grace. According to Shook, every reference we've heard of these unusual affairs, them in the water. And that's why they would term them river dinos. So sightings. An early sighting of the river dino came from a couple who had been on a trip in Arizona. While there, they claimed to have seen a carcass of a reptile, which was like that they've never seen before. It looked like a toy to them, it says. In early 1996, a Coloradoan woman named Mesa. I'm just going to go. Her name's Mesa, or in the Mesa Verde area, saw what she described as not a lizard, really, but 3.5 foot long, 3.5 foot high, and it moved very fast. As I remember, there were only two legs, and it seemed to be very balanced on it. The animal had a cone-shaped snout and a tail with 2 or 2 foot in length. The woman proceeded to consult with Jeff Tooley, an expert in reptile reserve, who had heard of other similar reports. Tooley conceded that this description he had heard before not match any known species to be made, but due to local climate, no lizard could have been living there through the winter. So they're up in the mountains.
It wasn't a lizard.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the best they got. One pair of witnesses, a mother and daughter, who had been driving through the Yellow Jacket area of Colorado in 2001, described having a long neck and skinny leg bird-looking thing. She said, like a cross between a bird and a dinosaur. However, it had no feathers, and its quote-unquote arms seemed to extend like its upright its neck rather than its body. The woman estimated this creature would measure about 5 feet if you stretched it neck to tail. So it's still arms, not very big.
And its arms did what now? With
I'll go back over all of these.
Okay.
So there's not a lot. These are what I got.
Right. Sorry. I had to clear my throat.
This is what I got for this one. There's just not a lot.
Not a lot there, but you had some minor details that...
The first one is... Okay. This weird shadowy thing, and this could completely be creepypasta from the internet. I don't know.
Right.
But it's out there.
Okay.
With this weird animal trader... Which you could say maybe they brought in something that wasn't local. If there's black market animal dealings going on,
mm-hmm.
they could have brought something in not local, and they happened to survive.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll talk about what those could be. But yeah, it's first time. First sighting was a couple from their trip in Arizona. They seen a carcass of a dead one. So they said it looked like a toy to them. So I don't really know what that means. If it looked like a Jurassic Park toy.
Yeah, like something fake, like a yard decoration or what?
In 1969, a Colorado woman in Mesa Verde area said she's seen not a lizard, not really. About 3.5 foot long, 3.5 foot tall. Moved very fast. As I remember, it was on two legs. It seemed to balance on them very well. So.
I'm imagining like a emu or something.
So you get the bird vibes.
Yeah.
What she's kind of describing. Why she's saying not a lizard is I'm assuming a lot here. Is that it had scales probably most over its body. So she in her head said it looked like a lizard, but it wasn't a lizard.
Yeah.
If she's putting that out there prominently, it must have had some very lizard-like characteristics.
In order to even mention the word.
Yeah. Because otherwise she'd say it was a bird.
Right.
It was a bird, or it looked like a bird.
I wonder if it's like featherless bird, you know? Like, because they can kind of look weird.
They can.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, they can.
Okay.
They can. But animal had a cone-shaped snout, a tail around 2 feet in length. So that kind of, if your description's accurate and this is all real, really throws out emus. So one of the things we'll get to later is emus and rheas, which are those mini ostriches.
Yeah.
They drop their feathers as defense.
Oh, okay.
And when they get really stressed, they'll actually become naked.
Oh, all right.
They have a little stubby tail. They do have a tail under all that stuff, but like... The base of a chicken's tail. It's just like a little tiny nub.
I was saying, would you even consider it though?
From most angles, you probably couldn't tell it was a tail.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. So there's always that chance that she's seen a naked emu. But there's also a lot of stuff has to happen to make an emu naked.
Yeah.
And then to be running around in a mountain in Colorado.
Ooh, that's probably not a naked
emu. I'm just saying, there's just a lot of things that have to happen
for that scenario to be.
Somebody had to pluck it because the feathers will drop.
Yeah.
They will drop out of stress, too. They'll actually pick their own feathers off when they're really stressed.
Like if you're in a really cold environment and you're lost?
Probably not, because the ones in Michigan haven't picked their feathers.
Oh, okay.
But they can survive cold. So, yeah. So there's this Jeff Tooley. He's a reptile reserve expert out there, and he has basically a little reptile ranch, like the one we have in Michigan, and says it doesn't he takes these reports of these similar creatures, but it doesn't match any reptile. And where she's at in the mountain, reptiles really aren't there. If you remember our Uinta Basin episode, we talked about that once you get in the mountains, like there's rattlesnakes in the valleys. There's not rattlesnakes in the mountains
because
it gets cold.
Right. Yeah. They won't make it.
Yeah. Another witness said it was a cross between a bird and a dinosaur. and its arms extended upright, its neck, rather than its body. So what I take by that, and once again, I don't have a lot, is that it's holding its arms against its neck rather than against its body.
Okay.
Whether that's a defensive posture, whether it's injured, I don't know. And why is she saying it's halfway between a bird and a dinosaur?
I know what's going on. It was choking.
Yeah, it could have been.
That's why it's running so fast.
And only it had no feathers on its whole body.
Stressed, choking.
And it was 5 foot long if you stretched it neck to tail. Okay. So it's not very big. 5 foot's long, but
it's not that
when
big.
You have a 2 foot tail and a 2 foot neck.
If I'm taller than it, it's not that big.
There you go. Now, so what do you think of that one?
Interesting. A lot of little minor details, but it's interesting nonetheless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Another account. But what is it? What is it? That's the question.
What is it? All right. Next, we're going to go to the tiny T-Rex sightings.
There's tiny T-Rexes?
Yes.
Okay. How tiny are we talking?
I mean, they don't fit in your pocket.
Okay. So bigger than that.
Yeah. This story is really kind of hard to follow, this next one. So there's some strange reports that congregate around the sightings would appear to be some sort of living dinosaur stalking the western places in the world. There are certain places that one could sort of imagine this happening, such as the deepest, darkest, unexplored jungles of Africa or South America, which are coming up in further episodes, and other certain places of living dinosaurs. Yet these strange creatures seem to make appearances in other areas that are not traditionally to be top of most people's list of finding a surviving dinosaur. So one of these places on these people's list is the desert badlands of the U.S. and the state of Texas. Here in Texas, there have been long-time reports of something that seems very much like a T-Rex, or similar bipedal theropod dinosaur. Now, the reports are just bizarre and unsurprising. So a very strange string of what seems to be a living theropod come from Texas, and we find most of these from Lon Strickler's website, Bantam and Monsters. Check it out. It's a great research tool.
I feel like we've used it before.
Yes, several times.
Okay.
Great website. Great. I can't talk. Great.
I don't know what just happened.
Had a stroke.
Yeah.
In October of 2013... he published a report headlining, "Dinosaurs Run Amok in South Texas Town."
Oh, I love that word, amok.
I mean, you just see that as a headline.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
Dinosaurs. Yeah, you'd be excited for that.
Yeah, I'd be like, we're moving to Texas.
Yeah.
And gave a truly outlandish account of witness identifying himself simply as Mr. of Hebronville, Texas.
His last name ain't E, is it?
No. In It's already starting. Hebronville, Texas. I hate when we talk about this. When you put the two like endings of a town.
Yeah, Vaughnville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Hebronville. We're just going to go Hebronville.
All right.
Says that he Mister says that this happened during the summer months of that year, in which the temperatures were sweltering. It seems dinosaurs were on the prowl. This witness says that he and his friend could have spotted what looked like a bipedal theropod dinosaur, much like a small T-Rex, scramble across the street right through the swath of headlights of his car approximately 8:45 p.m. He says that he heard of other sightings and brought back memories of his own weird experience just a few months before, and it put it much clearer focus. He says this about his own bizarre encounter. Just a couple months before, I'd actually heard of a creature that could only be described as a dinosaur. I had been asleep. It was at night, maybe 1 or 2 in the morning. I had been awoken for a moment when I heard an unfamiliar screech of something running, like scratching up my window. We had an AC unit in the window, so the window was basically open. I heard its footsteps as it ran by, and it was very heavy, whatever it was. I could hear it clearly on the ground. Thump, thump, thump. And as it ran further away, I could hear it screeching again. It was like nothing I had ever heard before in my life. It was too loud, and I wonder if anybody else heard or saw anything. I live in an apartment complex, so I just lay there in bed completely bewildered by what I just heard. I questioned my sanity and if I had heard what I had thought I heard. So when my friend saw a dinosaur, we were excited at what to tell them because of what we heard. I'm now only sad because I didn't get to see it too. We both questioned our sanity. At around the same time, Strickler posted this eyewitness report. At the time, a man from, Farafarsi, Texas. By the way, Ingrid from Patreon gave me a Texas pronunciation guide. I should have messaged them before this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe we'll use that as a follow-up.
Yeah, no, please email them because this is not. There's no way we're recording this in one go, right?
There's no way.
No, we are. Texas, which is about 18 miles south of Hebronville. The witness claims, or calling himself LM, claimed that the region was actually undergoing quite a spurt of bizarre sightings and became ground zero for all kinds of manner of dinosaur sightings. This is what they say. I live here in Forestville, Texas, about 18 miles east of Hebronville. I and others have seen those creatures. My neighbor saw a pair of them in December 2012 on the railroad behind our house. We were scared to report our sightings. I know other people in the area that have seen the same creature. A family member of mine in Mexico told me they saw a big lizard the last time they visited us. He saw it while he was driving near MacArthur, Texas. He described the same thing we saw. It was 2 to 3 foot tall with a very large head and a very long tail. It ran on 2 legs and it was very dark in color. The creature that we saw was dark brown and walked very quickly on its 2 legs also. It was also around 4:30 p.m. and we watched them for about 20 seconds as they moved towards the dead end road. We got a very good look at them. For a few nights after that, we heard short shrills coming from the bushes at the end of that road. A couple weeks later, my son told me that he and his friends found many quail feathers and deer bones scattered in the trees in the same bushy area.
Not the quail.
So yeah, or the Texas long quail.
No.
They're all dead.
Oh no.
I contacted wildlife authorities about the remains, but did not mention that we had seen a dinosaur. He says that they're probably coyotes, though I have not heard or seen any coyotes in a long time. Probably because the dinosaur ate them all. Another neighbor, though, lost a dog at the exact same time. Again, coyotes were blamed as the predators. No remains were ever found of the dog, missing right off the chain. My husband was alarmed with high heavy-duty steel link fence built around our yard so to guard our children and pets for safety. So the witness also claimed that our guard dog was acting extremely skittish and afraid, and even speculated that this could be suggested that the legendary chupacabra or the blood-sucking goat killer was around. So a lot of Mexican heritage in this area.
Yeah.
So very interesting. The dog is missing off the chain.
That's not good.
Jurassic Park 2.
Was that one?
Yes. Except that was a whole T-Rex.
Yeah.
That was the buck. Anyways, there's more to this. So we have this spurt, these little towns in nowhere, Texas, are getting these dinosaurs. You know, 3 to 4 foot tall. One guy says 5 foot. So not huge.
No.
But fearsome predators.
Right, yeah.
Dinosaurs were not anything to shake a stick at. They were smart. Especially when we start looking at, troodons, which would fit the size range, which were in the raptor family, were one of the smartest dinosaurs we think. You know, probably...
See, they are scary.
Yeah, no, they probably open doors. We'll talk about dinosaur intelligence later, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, another report comes from the Hebron area, apparently back in 2011, by a man or by the witness called MG. She says at this time she had been walking along a dusty lone road on her way home from work at around 5:45 p.m., and they'd noticed something odd. From the plumes of dust wafting up in the air in the nearby field, as if something was running along there. This would perhaps not be so strange in itself in this under normal conditions, but it was soon to prove to be very bizarre when the witness said this. On the other side of the road, I was walking. I saw dust kicking up in the air and then moving along the field, and then the trail of the dust was heading towards the road in front of me. I stopped walking, not wanting to miss my exit at the road. About 40 feet in front of me, it would only be described as what I best I could tell was a little T-Rex ran in front of me, about 2.5 foot tall. It did not stop running as if it was dashing across the road into the smaller field. It was a light reddish brown in color, stood up on two legs, and had a very long tail that was straight as it ran.
Mm.
There are no way, you know, these aren't lizards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was some more sightings reported from Coast to Coast AM in 2014. A witness calling himself Dan told of his experience he had as a teenager in Midland, Texas, where he'd often was out dirt biking. Him and his buddies were rugged desert scrublands stretching out around them. One of their excursions, he claims that he spotted what he called a mini T-Rex. And this is what he said at this transaction. I remember seeing the thing, and it was probably about 2 feet high. It stood upright on its back legs. Did not have, like, fingers or anything like you'd normally see on a T-Rex in the movies with three or four little fingers. It only had one claw.
Hmm.
And now I remember when it was running on our motorcycle around, it scared it off. I guess it was a greenish-yellow in color. I think in color, I never really thought about it till now. I just assumed it was some weird, you know, lizard thing. But I remember it was 2 or 2.5 feet tall, maybe 2.5, 3 feet high or long. And when it stood up, it had an egg-shaped dome. The only thing I can say is that it looked like a little T-Rex. It had an egg-shaped face or head. So that's kind of what he's describing, the shape of the head. So another one with a cone or egg-shaped head. Callers say that the old Art Bell show caller described the encounter with the T-Rex. There are four of us. They were 13 to 14 years old at the time. We saw it crawling along on all fours as we rode up. It reared back, and with its little tiny arms, it looked like a little T-Rex. So I honestly thought I missed it or was standing where I didn't see it right until I heard other people say this. I was angry. I wasn't happy that me and my friends riding our dirt bikes in that area. So, yeah. So another little T-Rex, but this one big claw on each little hand.
That's a weird detail. This is reminding me, though, of what I'm looking up his name from Tekken. There's a video game called Tekken 3.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little character you can unlock, and he is about a 2 foot, 3 foot tall, exactly what you're describing, dinosaur that you can fight with. His name is Gon, G-O-N.
Hmm.
Here's a little picture of him, but it's what you're describing, except over his little...
Oh my gosh, it is.
Yes.
The big long tail, the egg-shaped head.
Yep.
These are
literally this.
We got a lot to get through for you to ruin the ending.
I'm sorry, but...
I actually have Tekken in here.
The game?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yeah, when we get to Tulpas.
Oh, whatever.
I have no freaking idea.
I didn't know this game. I know you didn't. That's why I was like, you're lying. But no, ain't that weird, though?
Ain't it not?
It's literally you're describing this, I'm like, wait.
Green, orange color?
Yeah. The only thing that's different is he's wearing boxing gloves.
Well, maybe they missed this guy.
Maybe they missed it.
So the Art Bell kid, like, said they were riding around. The lizard was crawling on all fours.
Yeah.
Until it stood up and it was mad. He said it was like, in my mind reading it, it's doing a defensive thing.
Yeah.
It's not very big and there's four kids on dirt bikes. So for an animal that size, it's probably very frightening.
Yeah.
But out in the middle in this desert.
In Midland. Well, Midland seems like there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of weird stuff in Midland, Texas.
That gets brought up a lot.
Well, yeah. A lot of manta rays in Midland, Texas.
Yeah.
So they actually hunt mini T-Rexes.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
The atmospheric manta ray is actually the mini T-Rex's apex predator.
But they inhabit the same area, huh?
Well, that's where they come down to feed.
Right, yeah.
So that's all the little T-Rexes live there, out in the desert.
That's why they got their boxing gloves to punch the manta rays.
All right, from the site of Freudian of Zoology, there's a report of an apparent mini T-Rex, an unidentified witness who encountered this. The witness says he saw a wild creature in the southeast Texas. He describes this creature as a baby T-Rex, which he says this. I saw something that really changed my view on dinosaurs. I saw a baby T-Rex. It looked like a baby anyways. I thought it may be a raptor, but its head was so wide. It even looked at me before running into the woods. I even slapped myself across the face to make sure I wasn't dreaming. It was about 6 to 7 foot tall, and it had the same tail tip to arm or little arms on its head. Basically, as a T-Rex is what he's saying.
Right, yeah. It's that body plan
yeah.
that we see in the movies.
It was forest green with an iridescent look like oil on it. I saw it about 50 feet away in the sun in itself in the last rays of sunshine. It was sitting. It looked at me. I live in East Texas, in Silibi, to be exact. I live near the big thicket area on the edge of it, actually. I could even see that reptilian lips above its teeth. So, yeah.
Interesting. The iridescent?
Yeah.
I can see that. Like, some reptiles, like lizards, have that.
Birds, especially.
So, oh, definitely birds.
When we're talking about dinosaurs, you know, we're kind of like, well, the big Muscovy out back is, looks black until you get up to him and he's
got
green.
Got that green iridescent.
Yeah, he's actually... It's one of those weird things. He's not black. He is green.
Yeah. Just, I mean, from a distance, he very much looked black.
Right. With that's the what red I'm saying. Is that, you know, the East Indy greens.
When you get up there and really look at him, yeah, that deep.
He's green.
Very green.
But if you're standing 10 feet away from him, you'd be like, that's a black duck.
Yeah.
He's not a duck and he's not black.
Right. Yeah.
He's green and he's a Muscovy. You're wrong.
On all accounts.
So there's another interesting note of Texas, long supposed to be haunted by another cryptid, another MetaZoo card called the Mountain Boomer.
Oh, no.
Which lurks mostly in the rugged mountain wilderness of Big Bend region. So I did say Big Thicket Gap, which is a hyper Bigfoot area.
Yeah.
It's very, very crazy out there.
Okay.
Like, I think we talked to Lyle about Big Thicket Gap, of how alive it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the Texas forest. Like, it's, you can get lost in Big Thicket Gap, never be seen again.
Okay.
So this is another area. Big Bend region is also one of these areas the mountain regions, you could go. And they'd never find you.
Oh, that's where I need to be. End up being.
Well, not. Oh, the mountain boomers will get you.
Oh, I need to make friends with them.
I don't know if that's possible.
Let's find out.
Anyways, they lurk mostly in rugged mountain wilderness of the Big Bend region, the Big Bend National Park. The mountain boomer is said to stand between 5 and 7 foot tall, and really looks like a miniature T-Rex. As a bipedal gait, a long tapered tail, powerful hind legs, and tiny forearms tipped with a single sharp claw.
The same thing.
Very similar, yes.
Yeah.
Some reports mention large flaps of skin above or below its head. So like the wattles on a chicken or the comb on a chicken.
Yeah.
So which for birds or bird-like animals makes a lot of sense. So why some people see it and some people don't could be sexual dimorphism.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a male or do you see a female?
Right.
Females don't have it or they have a much smaller one. Some reports mention, like I said, the large flap of skin. The creature is said to sometimes emit a low booming howl, which is how it got its name. See, people say it's really like rumbling distant thunder. Now, if anybody's, once again, cassowaries and emus make a deep, loud boom.
Mm.
It sounds like a bass in a car. It's so loud. You don't really hear it. You feel it.
Right, right.
So these more prehistoric birds, these more close related dinosaur birds, make that noise.
That deep boom.
Mm, yeah. Mm, mm. And it's how big animals communicate long distances. These creatures are said to mostly be shy and really exclusive. But one report from the early 1970s claimed that one actually ran a car off the road. So is there a relationship between these mini Texas T-Rexes and mountain boomers? There's not a lot of information on mountain boomers. You can kind of find the cryptid wiki info on them. And same with the river dinos. You can find the cryptid wiki info.
Right.
You can go to different websites. It's all kind of the basic same couple paragraphs.
Right.
I can't find a lot. I even looked at, I have a pretty extensive collection.
We need like eyewitness testimonies.
I would love it. If you've seen a dinosaur, reach out.
Newspaper articles, police like reports filed. I don't know, something like that.
So what do you think of this mini Texas T-Rex?
Well, it seems like a phenomenon that's going on.
So yeah, a lot of these Texas ones, why they don't call it a velociraptor is because the head is really big.
Big, yeah. I'm wondering if it's like a different, what if someone was like experimenting in cross genetics.
Why don't you save ideas for 8 hours from now when we talk about what is causing this?
Okay. Just speculating.
Just saying, we're well over an hour on this first episode already.
The big head, mini T-Rex. How do they know they're mini T-Rexes? Are they just saying they look like a T-Rex but small?
Yes. Theropod dinosaurs. So
not literal babies, but.
Yes.
Okay.
And then T-Rex is just the name that people know for that type
associates for that
body plan.
Yes, exactly.
T-Rex is the most famous one with that body plan.
Thank you, Jurassic Park.
Well, I mean, it was before Jurassic Park. It was because it was the biggest predator ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Jurassic Park really pushed it into that next level where these people are calling these things mini T-Rexes, probably because of that movie.
It's also easy to say.
Yeah.
Giganotosaurus is a mouthful.
Yeah. Argentinosaurus is too.
Yeah.
That's so, not even.
Triceratops.
That one's easier a little bit, but yeah. T-Rex is just.
T-Rex, Triceratops, or Triceratops. Oh my gosh.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. It's going to be a long day. My last one for you. It's probably the most famous one on this list.
Okay.
But probably my least favorite. The Georgia Raptor.
Ooh, okay.
So the Georgia Raptor is a troodon-like creature that has been sighted in Georgia. On July 25th of 2008, an 18-year-old man and his grandfather were hunting deer in the night in Georgia. And they saw an animal which they described closely resembled a velociraptor from Jurassic Park. So the sighting, you can find it. Raptor Sighting in Georgia by Y. Phillips. When in the Georgia woods, a boy and his grandfather seen a creature that looked like a living dinosaur. This is his words. This happened to me and my grandpa on a hunting trip in July of 2008. I don't see my grandpa very often, so I always take the chance to take trips with him. Grandpa is pretty much an outdoorsman, enjoys hunting, fishing, and just being in nature. Grandpa and I were out in the woods. It was around 3 or 3 o'clock on Friday, July 25th. I was 18 at the time. We were on Grandpa's land in Georgia. It's a pretty place, typical Georgia woodland with a few grassy plains. We were taking on a little rocky road, heading to our site where Grandpa sees deer often. As normal, there was a lot of sounds going on the night in that woods. We ignored most of them and remained quiet to not scare anything away. Suddenly, we heard an unusual noise that we had never heard before on many of our hunting trips. Grandpa looked at me and listened. Then he raised a finger in front of his mouth to show me that we shouldn't make any noise or movements. I heard a lot of movement and even a lot more noise around us. I can't really describe the sounds, but I sure can describe what I saw, even when it was pretty dark. We kept listening, and the sound suddenly like something was walking slowly out of the bush on the road about 150 yards in front of us. My eyes got really big, and at that moment, I wasn't even scared. I was just amazed to see this creature. We didn't move. As crazy as it sounds, it looked just like a raptor from the Jurassic Park movies. I just froze because I thought the thing lived thousands of years ago. It was a long, stiff tail, walked on 2 feet with short arms. It looked like it had a lizard-like head with huge claws on both of its feet and smaller claws on its arms. Since the creature appeared to us that it couldn't run very fast, or that it could run fast, we decided not to move at all. It raised its head in the air. It seemed like it was smelling the air. I estimated its height was around 5 feet at the shoulder. So big. Because if its head at the
shoulder.
Yeah, so another foot and a half. So yeah, it's probably 6.5 foot tall.
6.5 to 7 maybe.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
After sniffing the air, it made a sound again, turned and ran off into the bushes. Grandpa and I waited what felt like forever until we felt it was safe and quiet, moved around way back to the truck and drove home. In the truck, we talked about what we had seen. And we decided not to tell my grandma because it would worry her like crazy. I never believe in this stuff. I never believe in ghosts or creatures or the paranormal stuff. I still don't really believe in ghosts or most of that. But since I encountered this, I believe creatures that science doesn't know everything. That's my story. It's odd as it sounds. I know what I saw.
I agree with him. Science does not know everything.
That will be very evident by the end of this finale.
Yes.
That's North America.
Dang, that's a good spread.
So a lot of T-Rexes.
Yeah, T-Rexes.
A lot of Velociraptors.
That one Canada, Northern Canada, Yukon Brontosaurus type-ish thing.
Don't worry, Brontosaurus will come back.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. You can't leave Littlefoot out for too long.
No, so super, I don't know. What do you think so far?
Interesting accounts. Like I said, you got a good variety and a good spread throughout the whole continent. We didn't hit really West Coast, or there's that one. West
so Coast we hit ish. Four Corners region.
Yeah.
We hit Texas. That's, we hit Georgia.
There you go.
We hit the Yukon, Canada. And we hit Ontario.
Yeah, so that's pretty well covered, the whole thing.
Well, look at it. Look at where the sightings took place. Look at where all this is. The most remote areas in the country.
Okay.
The mountain region of Colorado, the Four Corners area.
Yep.
There's not a lot of people living there, and it's hard, unforgiving terrain.
Yes.
Nowhere, Texas. Those towns sound awesome, but they're probably like Ada. They're nowhere.
And deserty, Texas.
I mean, they're talking like like some of the Mexican relatives and the one witness were talking about, like, they're just out there.
Right.
Like, yeah. They're just out in the desert. You can't go out there. You will die. Ontario and the Yukon.
Way up north. And that Hudson Bay you were talking about at the beginning, I've never been there. It's way up north. I mean, it's huge. It's that huge, gigantic bay in Canada. Right above us, but...
So even though some of these animals are incredibly large, they're in very remote areas.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, these flaps, there's like flaps of sightings in one area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of sightings really fast.
Right.
The T-Rex in Texas was a little different because it was like a couple years, but still...
Spread out, and a lot of different witnesses in different areas, but all relatively same area in Texas.
There's another one in Georgia for the Georgia Raptor that I can find second and third hand. So I don't really include it, but it's just real quick. It's like basically a group of friends watched one of these things kill a sheep.
Okay, gotcha.
It was at a Girl Scout camp, and basically sheep kept dying at this camp, and they thought it was a bear or something getting it. And finally, a scoutmaster and several of the girls witnessed basically a raptor start dragging a sheep back to death. So listen to the intro. Yeah. Beating a sheep to death.
That'd be quite frightening.
No,
imagine a Girl Scout can't do if they saw that.
A dinosaur carrying a sheep to death.
They'd be shrieking louder than the dinosaurs could.
So hopefully this is a good first installment
of
the
season
finale. Living dinosaurs from around the world.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I thought so, yeah.
Was it entertaining?
You were
worried that you weren't going to be entertained.
You're right. Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Are we not men? Are we not born free?
I have been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm J-Clone 33.
And we'll catch you next time with part 2, season 5 finale.
Bye!
Hey guys! Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.